gives me a privilege to be able to share and I just want to just encourage everyone. I just checking my queue again, please. So be with me for the time being. And we want to make sure we're coming through because I don't want anybody to get something. All right. We're coming through loud and clear, and so we're delighted about what God is doing. We definitely want to bless His name in everything that we do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, some years ago, there was a television series called $6 Million Man. $6 Million Man. And what it was, it is a fictional viewpoint of what can happen when somebody who was, in this case, was in a plane crash, he was a pilot, he got really torn up. And so, this fictitious character was, through, you know, medical advancement and so on, he was brought back to a position that cost $6 million, and that was a lot of money. Right? Be able to put him back together with supernatural eyes and with that nature, he could run faster than anybody else, could add a little danger and that kind of thing. It goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, the mind, you know, man's imagination and what God can do through us. So I'm saying this to say, because in the Bible, what we have are appointed times. And when you look at it, ladies and gentlemen, if we pay close attention to what God is trying to share in terms of His appointed times, you begin to see that He's setting us up to be a type of a $6 million man. In other words, if we adopt, because what we find, ladies and gentlemen, that everything is composed of systems. And so, what you find then is, we have to make a choice whether we're going to adopt God's system, which always produces, or stick with our system that we have devised, under the auspices of mankind in general, and you know where they get the leadership from, right? The God of this world. Who is that again? Satan the devil. He is the God of this world. Most people don't realize that. So the only people who are not under his jurisdiction overall are the ones who decide to come out from under it and make Jesus their Lord. Make Jesus their Savior. Those are the only ones. Everybody else is under the jurisdiction of the God of this world. You know, whoever you choose to obey or serve, that is your God. Well, they choose to obey the system, they choose to obey the world, is keep obeying mankind, and that is Satan. But for the few who have seen fit to rebel against that and decide that we are going to make a quality decision and to follow God, what we find is that there are very dramatic benefits available to us. I want to begin by going to Genesis, chapter 1. The book of Genesis, the first chapter. Because it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So somewhere along the line, sometime in the past, God made the heavens and the earth. Now in verse 2, he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. I want us to stop right here and stop and think. The God who is perfect and precise in every way. He created the heavens and the earth. And here what we find is the earth somehow ended up without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the water. Remember what happened? Well, when you study closely, ladies and gentlemen, what you find was that there was a rebellion on the planet Earth. There was an angel who was given authority to rule over the planet Earth. Instead of following God's instructions, he rebelled against God. He decided, I'm going to be like the Most High God. He decided, I want to take over. And the end result of his way of thinking is that there is nothing but chaos on the Earth. So God had to come back and recreate it. I wanted to touch on a few of the proofs, but I want us to understand that that is what happened. So when he goes to verse 3, God said, let there be light. He was in the process now of recreating and rebuilding what was torn up. Now let's pause right there. We're going to come back and look at this in a minute, but I want to prove before we go any further some things that you and I need to understand when we think in terms of God recreating. And here it is now what we read in Genesis chapter 1. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And we want to jump into the story so you understand part of what happened, and then we're going to go ahead and reprove this. I'm going to prove it more and more as time goes on. But let's go to the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Because what you find is recorded, and God, he doesn't put it all at the same place. So he says in verse 12, Ezekiel 28, it says in Ezekiel 28, chapter 28 and verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation and upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says the Lord, do seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So he's talking about a human person that has been taken over by God. I mean, taken over by the devil, and you'll see what happened. He's bragging now, say, I have the full sum, you know, full, I'm full of wisdom and I'm perfect in beauty. I got it all together. Verse 30. And God, the scene switches, and God said, you have been in the heathen in the garden of God. Now, God has not. We're going to go back and show where God made the garden. So, but this being later on, his brethren, he was in the garden of God. Every precious stone, the Bible says, was his covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbide, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that you were created. So God created him perfect. And he became proud. Verse 14. You were the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. This is what God said. I don't want to lead you that way. You were up on the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. Verse 15 says, you were perfect. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. So here it is, he was perfect, he got it all together, until he decided he's going to rebel against God. Alright, let's look at another viewpoint of the same situation where God is giving us information now, insight about how things are. So in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, Isaiah chapter 28, and verse, let's pick it up in verse 12. All right, let's see. Let's go there. Isaiah 40. Look at my notes. I know where it is, what it is, but I like it. So, that would refresh me. Okay. Isaiah chapter 12, chapter 14, verse 12. I have it. Right. It's Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation?" Here it is. This being weakened not just a country, but nations. That's Satan the devil. "You have said in your heart," verse 13, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So he's saying, I'm just going to take over and replace God. That's what he had done. And in the process of him trying to do this now, there was a fight. And of course, you know, he lost. God not slap him down quick. And so he says in verse 14 again, "I will ascend above this bright the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." That was what he was saying. Verse 14, Isaiah 14. "Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and say, is this the one that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms?" When people see the future, get a chance to look at Satan the devil, they're going to wonder, who will let something like that fool us? How will we allow him to do that? But God is going to slap him down till he comes to his senses, and that's the problem with it. But we need to understand what happens. So it is with that understanding that we end up in Book of Genesis chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read a little more. The Book of Job, the 38th chapter, I want us to see part of what happened when God was doing his creation originally. Job chapter 38 and verse 7. It says, verse 6 says, whereupon are the foundations thereof, us, some of the earth? Or who laid the cornerstone of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What are they shouting about? God created earth. It was marvelous. And yet, Satan the devil come and just destroy everything. One more proof for that. Luke chapter 10. Let's go to Luke the 10th chapter quickly. And you begin to see what Jesus is recording, is documenting, telling us what happened to Satan the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18 says, 17 says, The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Follow me. He set up his 70 other disciples, and they went out, and demons were scared of them. Everything was yielding because of the demons. So verse 18 says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He fell from heaven when God knocked him down, and he was just like lightning come to the earth. So he's saying, listen, we don't want to brag about, you know, what our accomplishment. The point is that God is almighty and he's all powerful. And so he went ahead and smacked down Satan the devil after he created this temper tantrum amidst God. So back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. So God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice that now. And God saw that light was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, the darkness he called night, the evening and the morning, or the first day. So here it is, he's going back through a series now of recreating things. And that's what happened the first day. Alright, let's take it a step further. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the water. Now, you and I look at it and we call it water. And I don't hear people talk like that nowadays, but there used to be a time when they would say water vapor. And in the air, there's water in the air. It could be in the form of mist. It could be in the form of water vapor or just cloud. But he said it's still water. And so he's going to separate that from the other liquid water that we have on the planet. So verse 7 says, God made a firmament and divided the waters from under the heaven, under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. So whatever is above the liquid water, clouds and so on, up in the sky, we call it heaven. And what is down on earth, let's see what he called it. And God called the firmament heaven, even in the morning, for the second day. So he separated those two. Then he goes on, the third day, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. Let's put them all together. Let's have some, you know, organization. So he brings them together. And so that water, God gathered the water. He said, let dry land appear. And it was so. So God called it dry land, gathered the waters, and he called that what? Sea. And he called that sea a river. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, yielding, and so on, fruit trees, and that kind of stuff. The earth brought forth all these grass and vegetation, that kind of stuff. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So that's what he did. Now what up the day before? God said, let there be a light in the firmament of the sky, of the heavens, to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years. Notice I want you to get this. He said, let the sun appear up there, the moon also, the stars, and they're going to be for signs, and seasons, and for days, and years. And let them be for light in the, let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. Great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So here it is, he's organized this thing. It was together, the sun, the moon, the stars, and you might say the planets and so on. Verse 17 says, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, by the light from darkness, God saw it was good. Even in the morning again was what? 4 days, counting down. Notice his organization. Verse 20 says, God said, let the water bring forth abundantly moving creatures. So he made all the sea animals and water animals. So God created whales and every living creature and so on. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth also. That's the birds and that kind of stuff. So the evening and the morning was what? The fifth day. Now look at verse 24. He's going to make land, animals, and man. Verse 24. So God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its time, cattle and frequency. So God made forth after its time, cattle and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and so on. So we not use it, but to be ruling over it. That is what is supposed to happen. So what we find, ladies and gentlemen, is that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. That's verse 27. So God blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and everything. Again, authority over everything. So verse 29 says, God said, behold, I have given every herb therein seed upon the face of the earth, in which this fruit of the tree yield seed, you it shall be for me. So he gave us that. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and every on the earth. He has given this thing for food. So he saw that all this was good and everything was what? Perfect. And that was the sixth day. Well, what did he do on the seventh day? Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, so thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and the seventh day God ended his work, and he made it which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he rests from the work of his hand. So my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that God went through a six-day process of doing all that work, and then he set us an example to rest on. Except that's not too hard, ladies and gentlemen. A few lessons ago, we talked about God's way of work. I want you to understand now, this is what happened. And so the system that he created, notice again, he did it one by one, and there were seven days. Means something to him. Notice his system. Because everything that you and I touch, ladies and gentlemen, is made up of system. For example, we have the respiratory system. That's, you know, how you respire, how you breathe, and stuff like that. You have the blood circulatory system, where your heart pumps blood and things like that. That's different from the respiratory system. The digestive system that you have where you use chemicalize, break down up the stuff that you consume so you can get the nutrients thereof. Alright, so there are systems there. When you stop and think about it, we have like a car, for example, it has a cooling system, a radiator, it has a reservoir for the fluid. It has a passage for the fluid to flow through. It has, a heater in some cars to get a heating system, so you provide heat. And the idea is you can also have one similar for air conditioning. The idea is a system. What about the fuel? If you have a fuel system, you have a fuel pump, you have a container to pump down the fuel, you have a way to get it burned and so on. You have ignition system. It's system. I want you to notice that when the systems don't work, then you have malfunction. When our system don't work, our body malfunction, and we have to go to the doctor. All right? There's systems. I want you to get that clearly in your mind. Now, the human body has a lot of systems in it. But I want to touch on something about how God arranged things, because remember now, we're talking about appointed times, and what you'll find is that God expects certain things to be done in a certain time. That's the whole idea, and together, they are called systems. So my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have what I call the circadian rhythm. That's a system that our body employs. All right, let's see. For our human body, have a system where it cycles through things over a 24-hour period. Now, you have some that are much shorter. For example, our breathing, you can only hold your breath for so many minutes before you have to stop. You have to, you know, breathe again. And so you keep taking air in and out the respiratory system. Notice that. Well, I am saying now there are some systems that are 24-hour in nature, and the medical terminology is circadian, C-I-R-C-A-D-I-A-N. Circadian, let's put it up there. Circadian system. And so I am saying to us that when we understand these, then we can collaborate with God and accomplish more. For example, if this circadian system regulates our body clock, so to speak. Now, I am used to waking up by an alarm. But you know what I've found is that a few minutes sometimes before the alarm goes off, I wake up. And I pretty much really can set a clock based on my body. I just wake up a certain time. And so if for whatever reason my alarm didn't go off, I still wake up. That's because of our circadian system. The cycle is regulated by internal body clock in sync with day and night cycle, triggers the release of various hormones and influences these different stages of sleep. And, you know, I'm going to have time to go through all of this. But some systems, for example, in your sleeping system, there are five different cycles. They take generally from 90 to 110 minutes to accomplish. 90 minutes is 1.5 hours. And you go through different things in your body. You ever wonder why? When sometimes you dream and your body just don't move. God set us up when we reach that stage in our sleep so you won't end up tired after you wake up. You won't be running around in your sleep. And so it disables your ability to move. And you hear some folks that say, I have a dream and I just couldn't get away. Well, that's all a part of it. God set it up that way so you won't move while you're going through that part of the circadian system. Alright, you have what you call light sleep. That's the initial stage. And then you go on to deeper light. And then you go to stage three, which is also known as wave sleep, where things are restored to your body. Your body has to go through these stages, and then the restoration process where your body builds your muscle, where your body build allows you to grow for those who are in the growing stage of life. You know, you go through these different stages. And so I am saying to you, look how precise God is the way He designed these. Let me see, because I have so much here to talk all day. The pituitary gland releases human growth hormone, which is vital for cell regeneration. So your cell is going to regenerate. When does it do it? While you're there eating? No. You wait until you go to sleep. And then the body just starts to generate certain hormones, and that's going to start to make certain things. So you hear a lot of folks, sometimes they say, teenagers, they sleep too much. That's why they're so tall. Well, there's an observation there that when they go to sleep, that they're growing. Well, there are things taking place. And so what I am trying to convey is that there are systems there. Your brain function at a certain time where it rebuilds the type of nerves that are the cells that you need in order for you to think and to do calculation and process like that. What am I talking about here? Your system. So you have one called circumceptor system. Now that takes a little longer. That's every 7 days. So when you get hold of what God is saying, when you get hold of His approach to life, you're going to rest just like He did. And He rested when? On the seventh day. Now a lot of folks won't realize it makes a difference. It makes a difference on your body. It makes a difference. Let me say it again. You can rest on Saturday, you can rest on Sunday, you can rest on Monday, you can rest any day of the week. But there are other things that are in motion that God has in motion on the seventh day, where He designed for you to cease certain things. They're discovering now that all over Africa, most of the animals, they rest on the Sabbath. So people want to go out and look at them, they're not there. But you go on Sunday and they're there again. They just do that. Now, do they have any governor over them? No, they just know to do it. God make them that way. The circumceptance system. And we now have a choice to decide. You remember he brought the animals to Adam and said, name them? And whatever Adam said they were, that's what God accepted the name. He accepted what they did. No, God has given us a choice, and He says, work 6 days and you rest the seventh, and not everybody sees it. There was a man, a multimillionaire, actually he was a billionaire from Australia. I remember in 1997, there was some gentleman was interviewing him. And they were asking him, what do you think is the cause for you generating all this wealth? And he said, because I rest one day a week. Now, he never did tell us which day. And there was other food. I think he didn't really want to stir up too much fuss. But he rested. He said, I found that I could not do well. I just couldn't function right unless I rest one day a week. I decided I'm going to rest one day a week. All time in it. That is where he said he got that, and by the way, he did later on say he actually got it from the Bible. But that's, he stumbled at it, and here it is, he was working his paid off before that, but just wasn't getting it anywhere. But he started to work on the rest of the Sabbath, and what do you know? Here it is, he started to make it. And he ended up being a multi-billionaire. More than 1 billion, that is. I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, that God appointed times are critical when we understand it. Now, you have another system that works in the human body. So we talked about the 24-hour cycle, and you have some that are weekly, and you have some that are less, maybe a few minutes in breathing, like you breathe on a regular basis. You know, there are folks I see lately, is wearing what they call a pacemaker. Why do they need that? The doctor, they recognize your heart is not beating as it should. You know what they call it? Pacemaker? They give them that stuff. I don't know how they connect it up to them, but it's supposed to help them, the heart, to beat on a regular basis. It's not that they can't live without it. It's just that you're not as efficient. Now, you find that you eat, I did not notice until a few months ago that your kidney has pumps. And your kidney has a system where it cleans and filters, it has a filtration system to filter your blood and clean out of it, take out the stuff that we use as call urine, it takes it out of it. The lower intestine takes out certain solids, that's what we pass as this excrement. But there's a system there. And back to the kidney, I'm saying though, it has a system and it has a storage pot. And it stores some of what it makes in there. When it's full, it just flows over and goes down to the, I forgot the name of the tube, but it goes into your blood. My point was that it has its system. You have two of those, one right, one left, and they're working. Now I end up studying all this because of the problem with one of my system was blocked up. A kidney stone was blocking it. And of course, we had to do some, you know, adjustment there. But my point is this, and praise be to God, it is almost complete now. Everything is, I mean, working like it's supposed to. And then we're going to move the rest of the tube and then that's that way, that area is finished. Back to normal. Now, what I am trying to convey to you, though, is that how precise God is with his system. And so we have this other one we call, like, infradian, I-N-F-R-A-D-I-A-N, rhythm, infradian rhythm, where things don't work on a 24 hours longer. It could be on a monthly, or it could be 9 months. For example, the digestive system for incubation for a baby before a baby is born. You know, they have systems in place for that. And so I'm saying to you, you know, there are other systems with the way God operates. And when you find later on, there are other systems that operate at a certain age, years also. When you're born, you don't have all your teeth at the same time. It takes time for them, and your people would say, well, I remember folks asking, did they get, have you got your wisdom teeth yet? But my point is that you have these systems in place. Now, in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, you learn some more about the systems of God. And so what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need practice adjusting our system to be like God's system. Synchronize and to work like he does, because that's the best way, that's the most efficient. Genius, we're not. So he says in the 23rd chapter, God spoke unto Moses, said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord. And what are the feasts of the Lord? Again, there are appointed times or a moedi times where he commands certain things, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feet. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, here comes the circumception system. Which animal do we know that outrightly have practiced this? Well, there are some bees that they discover in Brazil that don't do any work on the Sabbath. But the beaver, they have discovered that beaver, no matter where they are, they stop on the Sabbath. Come sundown Friday, they stop. And sundown Saturday evening, they start working on beavers. They're busy, constantly working, and they know when to stop. They have the circumception system. Where did they get that from? God made it into that. And so God has given us now because we were made, not by the animals on earth, but we were made in the image of God. So we have a choice. We have to choose to adopt these certain things. And so here it is, he's saying, these are the feasts. 6 days shall work be done, 7 days a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work in there. Can you work? Yes, you can. There are people who work. But when they get hold of what God's saying, they will stop doing what God's saying and stop making excuses. But I can't afford not to. I'm telling you. You're trying to tell me that if you follow God, you're going to lose out? No, that's not. There's something that is missing. And he says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy congregation, if I do no work there is a Sabbath unto the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In other words, wherever you live, the whole town's supposed to operate like that. And then he goes on, verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord in the holy convocation in their season. Well, we have one coming up on the 23rd of on the 23rd of September, this month, that's the Feast of Trumpet. I'm trying to pull my calendar up. And so what I'm trying to point out is, that's the day, that's the Tuesday. By the way, all the major holy days for the rest of the year comes on a Tuesday. So Day of Atonement is going to be the only offset because that's a 10th day. But the Day of Feast of Trumpets is 22nd. Feast of Tabernacles is October 7th. Last great day is going to be October 14th. We are learning to adopt God's system. What do you think he's going to do when he comes and set up the kingdom of God on earth? Celebrate Christmas? No, he won't. He won't. He's going to celebrate the feast of the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God come celebrating his birthday. Around doing it. Only three times birthdays are mentioned in the Bible. All three of them have to do with earth. All three have to do with earth. To run around doing it. But not everybody, I'm saying though, you see, God's system or man's system, that is the choice that is before us. He set before us blessing or cursing, life or death. And he said, choose life. He's telling you, in case you miss it, choose life so that you and your children can live. That everybody gets it. You'll find a lot of people struggling. And so here it is, we are going now through the cycle of the appointed times, the Moedims, and that is what we're actually, coming to, week, and we're going to celebrate before God. Now, not everybody understands this, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that. Not everybody understands it. Some of you have an improper understanding. Go with me to Hebrews chapter. The book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In verse 19, that's where the flow of the story starts. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. In other words, be bold, or we would say modern language, courage. Be courageous to do whatever it is you're supposed to do. To enter into the holy, enter into the holiness by the holiest rather, by the blood of Jesus. In other words, come into his presence based on the fact that you have been washed in his blood. Verse 20. By a new and living way. We don't need the old way anymore. It's a new and living way which he, Jesus, had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his body. So he had set this up so that we now have the privilege to be able to go talk with God without being spanked. We have a privilege. So verse 21 says, and having a high priest over the house of God. So Remember I said, well, I mentioned it last night in terms of revival teaching, but what I'm saying is that we're not bold enough to follow through on what God is trying to share with us. And part of it is that we have to make a decision to let Him be our high priest. Let Him be our Jehovah Roi. Alright? We have to choose that. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of by a new living, which He had consecrated for us, that is His flesh, that is to say, His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. In other words, let's be for real. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he's using terminology that should be clear now to the believer that we should come with this in mind. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, verse 22 says. What do you believe? But hold on to it fast. Without wavering. For he is faithful and promised. He has given us some precious promises that we can receive. Now the animal out there, they can't reason like we do and look back about it. So God has already made some provision for them to be able to eat. But for you and I, we have that capacity. We are at a much higher level. And he expects us not to apply ourselves. And so we have to make those decisions as we go. And he says, let us consider one another, verse 24, to provoke, or you might say, to encourage unto love and to do good works. Let's encourage one another. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You'll be surprised how many people have come to God, seeing the hand of God, seeing the power of God, and then we walk away from it. Because he doesn't zap them immediately. They walk away from it. Look at the children of Israel. Within 90 days after they left Egypt, they were meeting in the presence of God at Mount Sinai. 90 days. You know how many people nowadays would have give just about their right hand, if you want to use an expression, to be able to hear the voice of God audibly, but they did. 90 days after. How many people have been walking with God for years and never hear from the Lord? Not that he doesn't speak, not that they don't. But these people, these pagan-oriented Israelites, they heard from him within 90 days. He met him from Mount Sinai and everything. Commandment. And folks have been learning about God, not forsaking the assembly together for several, the manner of some here, but encourage one another, and so much the more you should encourage one another as you see Jesus coming, close to our time coming, close to our end. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of him, there remains no more sacrifice for our sin. If we sin willfully after we come to this kind of understanding. This is one of the reasons why I don't press people. Talk with them and encourage them. Because their blood is going to be on their head, not mine. I am telling them, thus says the Lord. But they have to make up their mind that they are going to follow through. Now if they make up their mind and then they go off way after a while, they change their mind, their blood is on their head, not mine. So he says, if you sin willfully, in other words, you make up your mind, I'm not going to live like this anymore, I'm not going to serve God, I'm going to rebel against him. Then that attitude. He says, there no more sacrifice to help you. We can't help you because you abandoned the number one way in order to receive it. That is the Holy Spirit. That's what you're doing. By you rebelling like that, you're abandoning the encouragement that comes from the Spirit. a certain fearful look is going to be there, but first person. A fiery indignation that will follow the others. He's using terminology to let people, hey, listen, don't go to hell, they don't get burned up. A fiery indignation. So I am trying to encourage us, ladies and gentlemen, to adopt God's system. What does that mean? It means that we're going to look and examine our life. And anything we see that is not in alignment with Him, we come on His turn. That's really what it was on for His building. That's our challenge. The more we study this thing, the more we come to the realization of what God wants us to do, the more we should be willing to do it. In 2 Peter chapter 5. 2 Peter chapter 5. Because we need to make sure we get this clear. Chapter 1, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Hey, just stay ignorant your whole life. Add virtue and knowledge. Be virtuous and do things the right way. Practice doing stuff the right way. And get some knowledge about it so you can train a lot of people. And as you get this knowledge, you say, add temperance to it so you don't just go off on other people. Patience and godliness. Add those things to it. Knowledge, virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, godliness. Those are some of the things he's saying. We should never, we must be acquiring more. You and I should, every week we come prepared to edify one another. You don't have to be the preacher to edify somebody. You can see, make an intelligence. You can make a word of, give a word of encouragement. You can pray exceedingly on our behalf and so on. This is our job. That's the whole purpose of these appointed times. So we learn to do these things. Now the whole world is ignorant of what is happening. Consequently, they can't receive like God wanted. And so they're going to end up doing without. They're going to be without, folks. I'm telling you, they're going to be without. Because they don't want to do things God's way. Some through ignorance. Up to revenge. Arrogance. This one. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, I want us to see an admonition. 2 Peter chapter 3. Because I'm going to show you a while ago. But I'm going to chapter 3 and verse 8. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a command. We should grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you studying every week to make sure you have more? You spending time listening to the messages so you can get through Jesus Christ? Are you pressing through so that you can get more? Because to Him, that's Jesus, be glory both now and forever. So I'm saying to you now, if you're pressing through, trying to make sure you get this in your spirit, you're going to end up growing. You're going to know more about God's appointed time. And you're going to find that, yes, He has done some for you by yourself. For example, what would have happened if we had to check every few minutes on our body to make sure we breathe? Some people would have forget. And they would have just died because they wouldn't have enough oxygen. So God sent out stuff like that as an automatic. And so that stuff worked in a few minute cycle. And it just worked regularly. 30 seconds or whatever. But you get the idea. It just runs automatic. What about going to use the toilet and so on? Or, you know, work automatic. And now you have some parts where you play, that's true. But I'm saying to you, he is organizing us in such a way that we should be willing to learn more about his system. And that's why we study these things later. Like I am convinced that when we continue to study, it's a shame that you have people who don't know God who are studying more about the human body than Christians. They're studying to learn more about the human body than Christians. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm learning now more and more that the more I adopt his system and the more I come in line with him, everything starts working better. I get pretty good. It's like a bonus, and it's running more efficient. And so I want to encourage you, as he says, to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, we probably touched on this, because the same principle applies, ladies and gentlemen, for appointed time. That is the weekly Sabbath, the annual holy days. The world hasn't yet got that. But he has a system in place. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4, give us our final admonition. Your final charge. I want you to get hold of it. I want you to get hold of it. Because we understand that God has, you know, his best he would like to give us. Nowhere in the Bible does God wish that we suffer, that we don't make it. On the contrary, we read, he wished above all things that we are in good health and prosper, even as our soul prosper. Galatians 6:9 tells us that in due season we will reap. The point here is this, it's up to us if we receive. But I'm telling you now, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, admonition that everybody should take. Take fast hold of instruction. In other words, don't be sloppy. Be quick. Take fast hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. If you practice acquiring what I'm talking about, this kind of knowledge, and expanding and going further, I mean, you're going to become like a $6 million man. You're going to just get better and better and better and better. You know, there was a time I was reading about history of these folks studying medicine in the 1400s, or they had to hide. Because there were certain people with a confused view in the church. I'm talking about the great universal church, the Roman church, who says it's wrong for people to do things like that. And so, consequently, people suffer. So they had to hide when they were learning and teaching others about medicine. When the priest is coming, they hide the information or lock the door. But look how much things have advanced since then. I've been to hospitals where the people who claim they believe in God refuse to pray. And the medical people who don't care about that, they're still pressing on and they end up in a breakthrough. Now who is operating by faith? Makes no sense. We want to make sure we are doing right. Focusing more on God, that appointed time, process, and system. And so that's what I wanted to share with you today. His appointed time really leads to his appointed system. And so when you understand this, then you can make your request on him. And of course, at that point, I'm going to talk more about this in another time. I want to encourage you to press through, because as we come towards the Holy Days, I want you to realize there's a meaning that is God's system is what you and I need to embrace. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the next time.